The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If you go to the expo before the marathon, they got a ton of gear. They got t-shirts and sweatshirts and hoodies and all of the things that say the name of the marathon or the name of the city and all of the things. You got unlimited design.
Oh, no. Oh, I can't. I got that marathon runner coming in tonight.
What marathon runner?
You know, this guy, Jean-Paul. I met him when I was working at Pendant editing a book on running.
But there is one, just one, official marathon jacket. Every marathon puts one out. They change it year to year. And if you run the marathon, it's a nice little display of accomplishment.
Oh, wait, Jean-Paul! Isn't he the guy he overslept at the Olympics 4 years ago, missed the marathon?
The number of people I saw walking around the 27th mile wearing the official marathon jacket who very clearly did not run the marathon was irking me, man.
Yeah, that's him.
He's from Trinidad and Tobago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's Trinidadian and Toboggan.
How do you oversleep at the Olympics?
I know.
I mean, it's like the biggest event of your life. You'd think you'd have like six alarm clocks paying off little kids in the village to come banging on your door.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited.
Keep getting us your suggestions for how Gabe can thank his neighbor who... I still can't. Who took care of his driveway. He has a snow blower and he came over and he used it twice. There you go. On Gabe's driveway. And Gabe wants to thank him. He hasn't met him, so keep getting us your suggestions. We've gotten a lot of good ones, a lot of alcoholic beverages related to Wisconsin, Bunzel's meat, carbless drinks, a gas card. But then, of course, there seems to be some idea that obligation goes along with the gas card, like I expect you to keep doing it. I don't know. I don't feel that way. Someone suggested cash, and we were like, I don't know. Someone weighed in on the carbless talk and text line, 800-990-3776, saying, you can give a kid cash. You can't give another adult cash. It's a weird...
Completely agree with that.
So let's talk a little bit about the Green Bay Packers. We have been talking about players that we want them to add this offseason. Michelle Smallman is a Packers fan. Last year, she did sort of a bachelor-esque sort of contest campaign to figure out which team she was going to give her allegiance to. The Packers won. So Michelle Smallman of Unsportsmanlike was talking about how she's actually really confident about where the Packers are right now. Take a listen to Michelle.
I kind of look at the Green Bay Packers with more positivity maybe than others do. I think it's good for them to go out there and be campaigning to add more weapons because they look at their division last year and they realize that the Vikings are there, the Lions are there, and the Bears feel like they're coming. And if you're the Packers, you got to keep pace and or try to get to the front of the pack. And the only way for you to do that is to continue to grow and to add to the group. I also think about the fact that, like you mentioned, they had a lot of injuries that they dealt with. Jordan Love got injured at the very end of that first game in the season versus the Eagles in Brazil. You had Jair Alexander get injured, Christian Watson towards the end of the season. They dealt with a lot. But they also couldn't beat the good teams, right? They didn't beat the Lions. They didn't beat the Vikings. They didn't beat the Eagles. But I'm kind of now relitigating some of this based on the Eagles' performance in the Super Bowl. I go back, and obviously the first game of the season isn't really a correct barometer, and it was on a neutral field in Brazil. But the Packers were right there with the Eagles. They also had a 22-10 score versus them in the playoffs. And even though it didn't feel particularly close when you watched it, it was still better than what the Chiefs were able to do against them. So I guess... now rehashing it, I feel a little bit more positive about the Packers and their chances next season because they are young, because they have had some of that playoff experience as a young group. If they can stay healthy and add, I think that window is open for quite some time. Plus, I have a lot of faith in Matt LaFleur to be able to get the job done.
Chew your reaction.
No, I disagree. They were one of the more healthy teams in the league last year. Yes, they Love was banged up a little bit and they lost a year, but in comparison to like Detroit, it's not even close. Look, right now, without any free agent moves or whatever, kind of picking them to do the same next year. Now, that could change if they add pieces. But these pieces mean double whammies, which I just don't see Goody doing. Doing having to trade for someone and then having to pay him. That's just not the way he does biz. So if the season was to start tomorrow, I would probably say 11-6, maybe 12-5, playoff team, but not good enough to win it all. That's where I'm at right now.
How much better would you feel about this team, Chu, if they had gotten to that 6 seed and won a playoff game? Because that's what I keep coming back to. Because the Packers have a better roster to me than Washington. And everybody's so high on Washington now. But the Commanders have the same problem that the Packers do.
Yeah.
They've got a really good team above them in their division. They've got to go through the Eagles, which means they have to go on the road consistently. Like, I think the Packers have a better roster now. Washington certainly has the better quarterback. I don't think anybody can dispute that, especially with the way that Jaden Daniels played last year. I think the Packers have a good roster. They just need the roster to continue to grow. And yes, in order to add a Myles Garrett, in order to add a Max Crosby, it's a double whammy. But to add Devontae Adams, that's not going to take a double whammy. Like, he's going to get released. You're not going to have to trade for him. Like, nobody's going to trade for his contract.
But the thing is, how much is a 33-year-old receiver who can still play get? How much is he going to get? And there's going to be teams looking for his services. So it's going to be a little bit of a bidding war.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to go to the highest bidder. Like, Devontae, I don't think at this point is going to the highest bidder.
Well, he wants to win a ring.
Because he wants to win a championship.
I did see this morning Dan Graziano on Get Up say that he thinks the best match, they were doing a matchmaker segment on Valentine's Day, was the Cowboys. And I hadn't even thought about Devontae going to the Cowboys until I saw that on ESPN this morning.
I don't think that makes sense for him. Cowboys aren't anywhere close to winning a championship. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Let's just not drink the Kool-Aid of, oh, he's definitely coming here because he played
I'm not there, but I think the Packers are in the running. The Packers are
I think they're in the running, too.
They're in the shortlist, too. They make more sense than Dallas does.
Yeah. But Goody always says he's in the running. Well, we're in the running. What did he get, $20 million? Well, I offered him $6 million.
Yeah,
they're
always
in the running game.
But he also did get two of the biggest free agents of last year's class.
Sure, and he's got to do that again.
Yeah.
Well, you said it, Gabe, during the season. Teams that win the Super Bowl have superstars.
Yeah.
Have superstars.
Yep. And the only way for the Packers to get that is to go out and acquire them this year.
Is this just a thing that people do in the offseason, though, guys? They sort of, and I know Michelle used the word reframe, and she's kind of like relitigating it. But, you know, you get further away from the end of the season, and it doesn't feel as bad, and you start leaning into the optimistic take, and you start leaning into the, well, what if, you talk about, well, they'll be healthier, or they'll improve, they're not going to regress again, and all of that stuff to me feels a little like wishful thinking. Like, yes, we hope that all of those things happen, but I'm not willing to attach my boat to that. I'm not willing to, like, hook my wagons to, we think they'll all get better. We think Jordan Love will find that 9-game stretch he had last season, not the past, but the previous. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not really willing to do that. I need to see proof that the front office is as interested, as invested, as fans are in wanting this team to be a Super Bowl caliber team.
Yeah, and I think Goody's going to have the money to go out there and get some guys. Whether they end up being the guys we want, like, and now I'm blanking on his, Aziz Ojulari was a name that was thrown out there during the trade deadline when we knew and everybody was talking about how the Packers' pass rush had to get better. And he's undersized. He's really a third down specialist, but he can still get after the quarterback. If the Packers sign him to a deal that obviously wouldn't take the draft capital, wouldn't take the amount of money that you would need for a Myles Garrett or Max Crosby, is that good enough for you?
So that's a really interesting point, and I want to tackle that before we have to move on. Who is the person out there, either free agent or trade, that makes the biggest impact on this Packers team, but also is reasonable cost, right? Because you can go out and get the most expensive, and it's going to make the biggest impact. But is there a way of finding that sweet spot of, this will be impactful, and it won't cost as much as two hypothetical first-round picks. Do you know what I mean? So, like, Chu, if you think that Myles Garrett is going to cost two first-round picks, and that's your perception of what the deal will take, is there somebody else out there, maybe not at that position, maybe at that position, who can be impactful? Maybe not as impactful, but might not cost as much. Can you find that sweet spot? And I bet that's what Goody is trying to do. Is there someone that comes to mind for you? And is it the obvious Devontae? Is it the obvious Devontae Adams is the guy who seems to want to reconnect, to have a reunion with the Green Bay Packers, who also will have his pick once he gets released from the Jets of where he wants to go, and then might take a quote-unquote hometown discount, hometown deal to be a member of the Green Bay Packers again?
Yeah, it's Devontae, because when you look at the three DNs, Crosby, Garrett, and Hendrickson, they all want a new contract. So you're going to have to pay them a ton of money. See, I'm looking now at the roster. Who do I expect to go from really good player to superstar next year? I'm expecting Tucker Kraft to make strides and be one of the elite tight ends in this league, and then Cooper. But the problem with Cooper is I thought this about Quay Walker, and we all know what happened to Quay Walker.
Yeah, but in fairness, Chu,
Cooper's
hesitant.
Actually been better.
Yeah,
hasn't he?
Cooper has done, Cooper's already accomplished more in his 1 year than Quay has in three.
I agree. But I'm still not, I still am hesitant about falling into that trap because I love the athletic ability of Quay Walker. Now his instincts seem to be a little bit in question. I'm just saying who I expect to take that next step.
Well, you didn't even mention the most important one.
Who's that?
Jordan.
Well, Jordan, of course.
If Jordan stays stagnant, it's going to be tough for the team to succeed. It's going to be really hard for
the team to succeed. In order for Jordan to take that next step, he needs superstars, or at least he needs one superstar, two superstars. If you had a legit number one receiver coupled what I think Tucker Kraft can do with Josh Jacobs in the backfield, I feel pretty good. But it's got to happen before I'm going to say I feel good.
We got to take
That's
a break.
That's all I'm saying.
Here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I do have Mick weighing in on the YouTube stream. Devontae Adams has a history of demanding money, the most money. Stop with the hometown discount scenario. Adams wanted out of Green Bay. Why should team management have any faith in a mercenary? He's going to be 33. He's going to want maximum money. He's not a burner. They need a vertical threat. And then he follows it up by saying, Goody has a history of finding lesser-known talent, up-and-coming players, players that haven't crested yet. And to that I say, to only a certain extent. Yes, we all love the idea of the diamond in the rough, the being able to outsmart your competitors, outsmart the other GMs, see something in a guy that nobody else saw, snag him, nurture him, and watch him blossom. But it doesn't happen frequently enough. Sometimes you need the sure thing, guys. Sometimes you need to just go out and get the sure thing. The guy who has been there, the guy who has done it, and you know will likely have that level of production for your team. And yes, it would require Goody changing his stripes a little bit, doing things a little different. And I think we're at that point. We'll take a break. Be right back.
An incredible BOGO deal going on right now with your screaming Sicilian favorites. Hurry in while the offer lasts until the 18th of February at your local Pick and Save and Metro Market stores. Think about that. With screaming Sicilian, that includes the original screaming Sicilian. That includes the Detroit style. That includes thin and crispy. That includes tavern style, stuffed crust pizza. That's just the screaming Sicilian brand from Palermo's. So right now, buy one, get one on your Screamin' Sicilian favorites at Pick and Save and Metro Market stores. Hurry in while this is still going on until February 18th. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN. A show better than the average ESPN Milwaukee fan? Now's your chance to prove it. It's time to play the Week in Re-Chew.
How you feeling, big guy?
I feel legit.
You nervous? This is part-time Will's first crack at this.
Oh, Will's doing it. Yeah.
What's he
dominated. He dominated 8-8 yesterday, Gabe.
It was a great list. But as soon as Chewy's done with Re-Chew, he's out of here.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah. Smell you later.
All right, five questions, big guy. You get three right, you win. You get three wrong, that means you lose this week as we quiz you on things that you said throughout the course of the week. Question number one, who did you say you would listen to if they had a podcast?
Jesus. But I've never listened to a podcast. I mean, if Jesus had a podcast, I'd listen every day, but he doesn't.
Sure enough.
Now, we did have a number of people remind us that Jesus has a book. And you could probably get that book on tape or on...
Yes.
You know, what do you call it? A podcast!
I've already read it like 28 times.
Okay.
I mean, 29th time.
Where's the cool drop back there?
29th cool. Time couldn't hurt you. Especially, yeah. I'm sure there's some pretty cool voices that, you know, that have read it that are available.
Who would you want, James Earl Jones or Morgan Freeman?
Morgan Freeman. Considering one is no longer with us, he has gone with God, if you will. I think we got to go with the one who can still do the job.
Although,
I had no
arguably,
idea.
The one who's no longer with us, if you could get that. It'd be pretty sweet.
You know, AI can do some remarkable things.
Yeah,
it wouldn't shock
me
if they were able to do that. Go ahead with question two.
Starts with the audio clip.
Well, that's why I'm not sharp. I'm normally sharp.
Yeah.
I'm normally sharp.
What did you say you were as sharp as?
I was sharp?
Yeah. Apparently, normally you are, but you aren't as sharp. And you're normally sharp as a?
Tack. As a tack. But I'm not sharp today because of the rock. Did I get it right?
You got it right.
Oh, okay.
All right, we're two for two.
That's like a phrase, though. That felt like cheating.
Yeah, I know.
It's not like he said, I'm sharp as a nail, and we'd be like, oh, it's a Chewyism. Sharp as a tack is a thing people say.
Totally, total guess.
He doesn't say that. Chewy sayings are like close to the ones that everybody else had, but they're always
saying.
A little off.
Right.
So that's why I think when he says a normal one.
Okay, fair enough. I'm following the logic now.
All right, question three. You can wrap this up early, Chew.
It's like I have COVID. And I can't taste.
What did you say was like having
hideous
COVID?
Hideous sub. Yeah.
What kind of sub?
I have to know what kind of sub it was?
I mean, I wasn't here, so I mean, Will is apparently willing to give it to you.
Yeah, I would give him the sub.
I don't even know what kind of sub it was.
I believe it was do you have a guess? What sub do you normally eat?
Well, what sub did you eat the other
Italian?
Day?
Italian.
It was tuna, but...
No. Oh, wait. Gotcha. Yeah, you were talking about a bad tuna sub, but yes, that was very convoluted.
Do we give it to him?
I mean, it's up to you. I was not here.
I'm going to say no, because he was talking about one tuna sandwich in particular.
Whoa, tough
he
grader.
Also got the first
look
two.
At tough guy now. All right. Those are fighting words.
Chewy, you actually admire it.
Yes.
You actually kind of love it because you said at the beginning of the week that you were going to get Will out of his shell, right?
Yeah, I did.
Put some hair on his chest.
Wow, this happened a lot quicker than Ashton. Ashton took months.
Years, even.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to the next one.
What pet did you say would be cool to have on your shoulder?
An owl. Right?
What the hell did you guys do?
I love a pet owl on my shoulder. Wouldn't that be cool?
I don't think
like,
owls are.
Guy?
I don't think owls are shoulder creatures.
Could you have them for a pet, though?
I mean, people.
I mean,
have
you can have a lion.
If
you
you're
can
Harry
have.
Potter.
Great
although,
point.
To be
great
fair,
point.
That was a service owl. Okay, it wasn't just a pet.
Yeah, there. I think that'd be so cool.
All right, well, you already won, but let's see if you can get the last one.
Okay.
Starts with the clip.
Depends on the sandwich, but overall, most important elements to a sandwich, the main attraction.
Meat
that was
and
Ashton substitute.
Being a tool.
A complete tool.
Yes, you were imitating Ashton there. Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. What is his deal?
That was amazing.
Did I run the table?
Well, you
well,
came
other
close.
Than the tuna.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tough guy didn't give it to me.
I'm That's glad right. I didn't give it to you now,
That's
especially.
Right. That's right. Say it with your chest, Will. Say it with your chest.
So just
Get
4 out of 5 for you.
How are you feeling, big guy, about the MRI?
It's starting to hurt now. I think I have mental issues. I really do.
Well.
Gonna have to clip that
yeah,
for me?
That's, that just,
that.
I mean.
Just hold on to it?
I know. I don't think there's anything wrong. It's just I think It's something in my brain's telling me
something is wrong, buddy. Something is wrong with
you. You think
elbow.
So?
Yeah, absolutely. It's
I thought okay. So. Okay, how have we gone from you've diagnosed this thing five different times, knowing exactly what it is, to the point of when you were scheduling this initial doctor's appointment so you could get the MRI, like, oh, I can already tell them what it is, and now you're backing off of that?
I think it's cartilage. If it's anything more than a scope, I ain't getting it done. I'm out. As we used to do to Mike Sherman. If it's anything more than a scope, I'm done.
What do you mean you're done? Isn't the pain
I'm not getting it done.
But isn't the pain only going to get worse, bud? Aren't your limitations only going to grow? Yes, yes.
No, I'll just change my workout.
No, you live to work out.
I know, but I'll just change it. I am not getting major surgery. I'm just telling you right now.
So let me
happening.
Ask you a question. You would be okay with never being able to bench press again?
Yeah. Part of life. Yes.
But, like, your elbow's important to every arm workout. You don't work out your legs. Famously, you don't work out the legs.
Yeah,
turns out you need your elbow for just about every single arm workout.
Yeah, but it's only when it, like, totally compresses. So if that's the case, then I'll do what most people do when they go to the gym. Half curls, half whatever, half squats, half this. So I'll fall right in line with everyone else. How's that?
Yeah, but you don't want to be like everyone else.
Sometimes you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them, Gabe.
All right, Kenny Rogers. Chew, good luck with the MRI. We will be eagerly awaiting the results. Hope everything turns out all right, but I do think that you have a procedure in your future, bud.
Okay, I will let you guys know as soon as I find out.
Does that mean
I can take Monday off or what? Tuesday and Wednesday and maybe even Thursday?
For all the grief you gave Gabe and Joshy for not being here the last 2 days, now you're going to turn around and just not show up?
You know what? I'm proud of Gabe, the other guy.
Wow. I won't even say his name.
Just not. Well, no, because clearly now, like, just like Joshy fell into favor over Ashy, like, Will here is now just on top of the food chain after he stood up to chew today.
It felt pretty good.
It's a good point.
Well.
Hey, don't do it too often, though.
No, I will. We'll try to
coach you through this
you
evolution.
You got to pick your spots.
That's right. Hey, all you sports bettors, if you aren't making your wagers at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee, you are missing out on an elite experience. It's a complete sports betting paradise. State-of-the-art venue with dozens of self-service betting kiosks, seating for more than 200 people, a first-class bar and restaurant, a VIP deck, and a broadcast booth, which we broadcast the weekly wager from each and every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. And, oh, by the way, there's a 2,000 square foot video wall where you can watch all of the sports, all of the games, all of the things. They have figured it all out. Bet above the rest only at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and the new Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.
Don't you love it? Don't you love it? No, I ain't happy yet. But I'm way less sad.
Do you guys remember when I was at the State Fair a few years ago and I was walking through the Expo Center and I saw a display for Good Health saunas and I was like, ooh, I need a sauna. I'm all about health and wellness and longevity and I was like, I've heard about these things. Let me just try it out. Loved it, bought it. Still love it. And you can do the same, guys. This weekend at the Nary Spring Home Improvement Show from the 14th through the 16th, Good Health Saunas has a display there. So say you've heard me talking about it and you're like, are they really that great? Here's your chance to find out for yourself. Go to the Nary Spring Home Improvement Show. It's at State Fair Park. Check out the saunas. Tell me if you like how it feels, how it looks, if you think you got a spot for it in your house. And go to their website, goodhealthsaunas.com. That's where you can check out all of the models before you go so you have an idea of what might be best for you. And tell them that Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you. So, Gabe, you weren't here this week. We talked about a lot of things, but mostly what the Packers need to do to get over the hump. The thing that, the player that, whatever it is, you have been adamant, and I agree with you that this needs to be a top priority for the green and gold. Jordan Love has to get better.
Yes.
Doesn't matter all, you can put all the pieces around him. You can go out and get one of the, you know, best receivers to ever play the game. You can go out and get a pass rusher. You can go out and get and solidify or add depth to your defensive backs. If Jordan Love doesn't improve, this team goes nowhere.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. You take a look at the teams that were in the Final Four, that the NFC Championship game, AFC Championship game. Over in the AFC, you had a guy who won the MVP. You have a guy who's the best quarterback in the game today in Patrick Mahomes. And then over in the NFC, Jalen Hurts, who I don't think anybody can dispute how good he is, even if it's not with the traditional numbers that we're used to, because he does so many other things for that Eagles team. And Jaden Daniels, who had such a tremendous rookie season. Like, you need to have good quarterback play. Like, again, maybe it doesn't have to look the way it looks with Patrick Mahomes, because all four of those guys have just so drastically different playing styles. But if Jordan Love can't lift his game, especially in those important games, you go back and look at his stat lines in all of the games that they lost, and they're not very good. Like, if he doesn't get any better, doesn't matter if they go get Myles Garrett. Doesn't matter if they add Devontae Adams. Doesn't matter if they add Myles Garrett and Max Crosby. Like, he has to play at a better level than he did this past season.
So a lot of analysts point to the footwork and his throwing motions as areas where Jordan Love can make improvements. And it's like anything else, guys. When they talk about building a habit, creating a habit, you just have to do it and do it and do it over and over again, LL Cool J. Like, he needs to go out there and do fine footwork, excellent footwork, all off season long. Because what ends up happening, Gabe, is he starts out showing the footwork and the motions that you're like, oh my gosh. So we talked about Tom Clements. Wow, really got a hold of Jordan Love, really cleaned up some of the things that caused him problems. But when the game is on the line and the pressure starts to ratchet up, he falls back into old habits. And that's when I think you see the errant throws, him not making the good decisions. And that's when you're like, oh, we're just not there yet. It is not instinctive yet for Jordan Love to play with good footwork, good mechanics.
Well, and I think this is where the injuries can play. You know, again, if you want to talk about it, make me making an excuse for Jordan Love, then I guess I'm making an excuse for him. But when you're talking about his footwork, and now he has to adjust that footwork so we can play through the injuries that he had, the lower leg injuries that he was dealing with all season, yeah, that's going to mess up your good fundamentals that maybe you had. And now you start to develop bad habits. So hopefully he can get to a point this offseason where he hits the reset button, can get completely healthy, and then start building that foundation back up again.
So are you more in lockstep with what Michelle Smallman said earlier when we played her reaction to the Packers season and her optimism headed into the offseason, where Jordan Love's injuries played a major role in them not getting over the hump? Are you there with her on that?
They did, yes, but you have to find a way to play through that. Like, Aaron's played through a bunch of injuries. Like, the year in 2014, he was dealing with a bad calf, right, down the stretch. You know, the one year he basically played with a busted kneecap the entire time. I mean, Chewy can list the different injuries that Brett Favre had to play through. Like, quarterbacks have to play through injuries. That's part of it. And he has to figure out a way to be able to keep some of those fundamentals or go back to the fundamentals once he becomes healthy. Like, yeah, I think that it limited him certainly this year, but you have to find a way. If you want to be truly one of the best quarterbacks, you have to find a way to still be effective. That was the big question with Patrick Mahomes a couple of years ago. Suffered the calf injury that he did in their playoff run. Didn't matter. They still won the Super Bowl that year because he could be Patrick Mahomes. You have to find a way to go, and that's part of the learning and growing process for Jordan Love. But I look at this upcoming year as a huge year for him, as making that jump from second-year starter to third-year starter. Like, if he doesn't make the jump that we were all hoping for in year two, I'm going to be less optimistic about his future if he can't show that he's making some of those strides in year three.
See, one of the challenges is, of course, when a guy is talented enough to make throws from different release points, then telling him, no, you got to be more consistent with your release point. Like, Jordan Love is probably thinking, no, part of what makes me special is my ability to hit a target from different release points. There sometimes is going to be a defensive end in my face. I'm going to have to get around him in order to make the throw, make the completion. But I still think you want to go back to basics. And I think it is better to, this offseason, try to consistently throw from the same release point to get that to be your baseline. I want that to be standard operating procedure. And then on occasion, if you want to go to the well, you want to pull out the arsenal of these other things, great. Because that's the thing that I think Jordan Love thinks he can do all the things he needs to do while also not having a solid base, while also not doing the transfer of weight, while also throwing from different release points, because that makes him a little more of that playground Mahomesian quarterback. I just want him to, I guess, start from like a baseline across the board.
Having those skills, though, and knowing when to use them are two different things.
That's a great point by you. Great
because,
point.
You know, like Dame Lillard, great at step back threes. Not every three he takes is a step back three, right? Not when he's wide open does he go, oh, I got to try a step back here. And a lot of times when Jordan has that clean pocket, you see him kind of drop down to a side. Or Matthew Stafford had an issue with that for years with the Lions. Like, he would drop down, and then the ball would sail on him. He'd throw interceptions. It would happen to him all the time. So it's, sometimes it takes a while to clean a lot of that stuff up. It's about knowing, okay, I have this skill. When do I use it? You know, and when that pass rush is bearing down, you can drop down the slot, or you can throw off your back foot and still get something on it. But when you're operating with a clean pocket, that's when you don't want to be doing those things, because then the ball can be off target and it's not going to be as clean as you want it to be. So kind of separating those two things, I think, is also a big part of it. Of, okay, I have this good foundational base, but I have these other skills. When do I use those other skills? And again, that's, as you play more and more and more, I think you kind of figure that out.
So I'm asking you to prognosticate here. I'm asking you to, Miss Cleo, call me now. But if Jordan Love improves and goes back to what we saw for that 9-game stretch at the end of last season, not the previous, would that be enough to get this team to the next level? Or would that just be step one in getting them to a Super Bowl caliber team?
That's step one into getting them a Super Bowl caliber team.
But would it be enough? Let's say that Jordan Love focuses this offseason on getting better. Let's say he makes all of these improvements that we have just talked about in this segment, and they don't go out and get Davante Adams, and they don't go out and get Max Crosby, and they don't go out and get Myles Garrett, and they don't go out and get, and don't go out and don't do any of those things. They draft and develop the way they always have. Is that enough?
No. You need more stars. You're not, the one team, the Chiefs, I mean, they still have stars at different levels. They don't have the roster that Philadelphia had, which is why Philadelphia won that game. They've got Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And as much as I like Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love, they're not that combination. They're not two future Hall of Famers, not yet. So you still need more stars on the roster. You need more guys to be able to step up defensively and be able to make plays. You need more offensive guys to go, yeah, I'm the guy. So if they don't go out and get those guys, okay, does Lucas Van Ness do anything, right, defensively? Does Rashawn Gary actually become the player that he's being paid to? Can Tucker Kraft take that next step? There's a lot more development that still has to happen across this roster for them to be like a true Super Bowl contender. Because they just need more stars. They need more guys that can step up and make those big-time plays the way that we saw Cooper DeJean do it in the postseason, the way that Saquon Barkley, the way that A.J. Brown. I mean, you look up and down that roster, they've got stars all over the place. And that's going to be the trait of any Super Bowl team, is having those stars.
We're going to put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. If Jordan Love improves his mechanics and sort of regains that form from the end of the previous season, is that enough to get the Packers in the Super Bowl conversation? Because ESPN put that article out earlier this week, and we talked about it here on the show, saying they're still a piece or two away from being contenders. They were in like the 7th spot on that list, 7th in the power rankings of the offseason for the Green Bay Packers. Would it be enough for Jordan Love at the most important position on the field to improve his mechanics, to regain that form? Would that be enough to make them a Super Bowl contender? Let us know. 800-990-3776. We'll be right back after this.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Before we let you guys go, I want to tell you about my friends over at Quintessa Aesthetic Center. From January 1st through March 31st, they are offering special packages to help you start 2025 as a more confident you. Whether it's wellness, weight loss plans, Botox, skincare, or even IV therapy, they've got personalized options backed by medical expertise to help you look and feel your best. Check it all out at myquintessa.com and make this year the year you are the most confident inside and out. Got through the whole show and didn't mention, it is official. Aaron Rodgers is no longer going to be a member of the New York Jets. The Jets themselves announcing it. Now, we talked about it with Jason Wilde a little bit, but Gabe, your thoughts on how, I guess, unceremoniously this whole thing ends.
I still can't believe the Jets put something out yesterday. Like, how many times have we seen, you know, for example, let's take Davante Adams when he was with the Packers, right? Like, everybody knew that the Packers were going to eventually franchise tag him and then potentially trade him, right? And all that was reporting was done by guys like Adam Schefter. Like, he would put it out there. The Packers never put from their official Twitter account, yeah, we're going to move on from Davante Adams. They never did that. So, like, to do that with Aaron Rodgers, it's just such a weird move on the Jets' part, which clearly says to me that they're just going to cut him. Like, you're not going to put it that out there. Now everybody knows you're going to get rid of him. Like, they're just going to cut him and let him go wherever he wants.
There are reports that Rodgers wanted to leave regardless, that he was done with the Jets regardless. Some of that a little bit is like, you don't dump me, I dump you. You know, who knows what the order of operations actually was with that whole dynamic. But I also think that this is a win for transparency. With Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre and some of these guys who are at the end of their careers, but they want to keep playing, they think they still got gas in the tank or what, you know, whatever it is, there's that like holding the organization hostage a little bit. And I don't even mean that in like in a mean-spirited way. It's just as they work through their decisions, there's this like, hey, we clock's ticking. We need to know. We got to make decisions here based on what you want to do. And I think this was the Jets' way, Gabe, of being like, no mystery, no smoke and mirrors. This is what's happening. We're all on board, and we want the world to know it so that it doesn't feel like there's any sort of room for reversal.
I fully expect the Jets to still be a disorganized franchise. Like, that's who they are. But in terms of like a team, a move a good team would make, this is what they do. Like, you just fired your general manager. You just fired your head coach. You're bringing in new people. Like, you want to start over. That's the reason why you're bringing in these new people. Aaron Rodgers isn't a part of your future. Like, not even the immediate future. So moving on from him is 100% the right decision for the New York Jets. It's 100% the right decision to make. So, like, I'm not surprised by this, but the way the Jets have handled it, yeah, I'm a little surprised. And now here comes the interesting part, because the Jets were able to get out in front of it in such a way. Aaron Rodgers can't be like, oh yeah, I still want to play. If nobody wants him and the league retires him, I thought that he would be one of the few guys that would get to choose when he got to retire. I'm really curious to see who's actually going to be signing up for his services.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers, when he watches the film of him playing last year, is a guy who is so confident in what he has done, in his resume, and in his ability to defy Father Time, he genuinely thinks he's still got it?
So he does. Okay, so in fairness, he does still have it to an extent. Does he have it to the extent that he had in 2020, 2021 when he was MVP? No. But he's still an above-average starter in the league, still takes care of the football, still can sling it. Maybe the arm strength isn't quite what it was 4 or 5 years ago, but he's still an above-average starter. Like, if the Steelers, who are one of the favorites to go out and get him, I think he's an upgrade there.
But you know how this league works. You know that teams want young, they want manageable, they want the fifth-year option, they want all of those things. And so if you have to weigh the two options of, am I going to go out and grab somebody in the draft who we can control for the foreseeable future, is a little bit of a gamble, but so is Rodgers at this point. See, that's the issue. And then there's the question of, how much control does he want? Does he want to bring his pals? Like, all of the things that we have hammered over the last year or so during his time with the Jets, and during the end of his tenure in Green Bay, I think all of those things become a little bit too much
for
franchises to bring on.
But he doesn't have that power anymore, because he was traded to the Jets last time, and he was not that far removed from an MVP season where the Packers were the number one seed in the NFC. That's a long time ago now. But he had a decent year this past year. The team was still bad. Coming off an Achilles injury, wrong side of 40. Like, whoever signs him, like, he's not going to be able to bring his buddies along with him this time.
I just can't believe that on the eve of Valentine's Day, the Jets dumped Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Timing? Can we not? Does it have to be the week of Valentine's Day, right? It just feels a little more like...
Well, would it be better if we knew Aaron Rodgers was dating someone? Like, oh, well, at least he's got so-and-so to go home and cry to.
I think he said on McAfee, like, several weeks ago, he's got a girlfriend. He threw her name out there.
I missed that.
Bonnie, Brittany, something.
I was unaware of that.
Whew.
He said it on McAfee, where he says all the things.
For someone who claims that, you seem to be pretty in the know.
Listen,
when it comes to Aaron Rodgers and his personal life.
I am a big fan of Pat McAfee. And he pushes that content. And so if I happen to see some of the things that McAfee says about Aaron Rodgers, so be it.
Did you see that was one of the conditions, though, right?
That he couldn't go on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That he could not go on McAfee.
Which, by the way, is what a team should do. You set the parameters. You set the guidelines. The player falls in line. Crazy. Hey, good stuff today.
Does he play in 2025?
Ah, we talked about that, and we will talk about that next week.
And I'll tell the story.
I got all these people saying, Jen said she was going to tell the story about how she got kicked out of a comedy club. I will tell the story.
You said what?
Next week.